We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
We are in the middle of a series called For This Cause. For This Cause. Every year where we come upon what we call Vision Sunday. And so this Vision Sunday is actually next week. Say next week. Next week is Vision Sunday, February 7th. And you'd be like, oh, cool, that's Super Bowl Sunday. Now, who cares? Patriots aren't in it. But it is Vision Sunday, and we're really excited about that. The Super Bowl will wait for you later. But, man, we want to start in God's house, start the week right? Success begins on Sunday, y'all. And so you do not want to miss next week. But as we have been building up to our Vision Sunday, we started a series last week called For This Cause. And I was saying how during every year, I'm saying, God, what do you have for us this year? What do you want us to rally around? What do you want us to fixate on, so to speak? What is the not the theme, but really the idea that you want us to focus on? And I was drawn to this scripture, and it says in John 13, this is where Jesus is talking with Pontius Pilate before the crucifixion, and Jesus is explaining to Pontius Pilate that his kingdom is not of this world. And so this is where it picks up. Pontius Pilate says, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. My question is, do you hear it today? Do you hear his voice? Do you know the truth? Because the truth will set you free. All right? And so when I read this scripture, it jumped off the page. I thought, of course, it's for this cause. When we're thinking about God, what would you have us for 2021? What's the focus? Focus better be about this cause, because I'm telling you right now, the world, it's not a place where, you know, we can stall any longer. We can't delay any longer. We're going to have to reach people for the sake of Christ, because the Bible says days are going to wax colder and colder. It's going to get darker and darker. The evil will be called good, and the good will be called evil. Anyone seeing the times that we're living in? You discern the season that we're living in? In the same way you brought a jacket today, because you understand the season we're living in. It's the middle of winter. You are wise enough to consider those things. But are you wise enough to lean in and understand the season we're living in spiritually? So of all the causes, of all the things we can align ourselves with, none come close to advancing the kingdom of God. And Jesus, he said it this way, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? He must be. We must be about our Father's business. We have free will, but we need to use that free will to be about our Father's business. Are you getting this today? And so if we're to be like Jesus, then we too must be about our Father's business. Here are three questions to ask yourself before we really dive in today. I just want to help you see a few questions that you should be asking yourself. Do I believe the cause of advancing God's kingdom is worthy of honor? Do I believe that? We sing a lot of songs about believing, but do I believe it's worthy of honor? Okay. So when you have that answer, let's ask this question. Do I understand that God does not accept honor in word only? Because this is something to wrap our brains around. If we say we're for God and we want to honor him, well, then it can't just be in word only. Okay, God, how can I serve you? How can I be about your business? Last question to ask. Do I understand honor will always be at the expense of comfort? Because God, I want to honor you. You're worthy of it. And I realize that honoring you is not just by word only. So I then also need to realize that honoring you will come at the expense of comforts, my comforts. That's why in this church we talk about dying daily, about picking up our cross, about laying down, about decreasing ourselves so God can increase. There's going to have to be an expense if I'm going to honor God. It's going to be at the expense of my comforts. You guys ready? Buckle up, buttercup. These are questions that I ask myself as I assess how I am doing when it comes to honoring God and when I look to elevate the cause of Christ in my life. Because how many know we need to continue to elevate? You need to find elevation in your life. How many know that there are different seasons? Your life is different than it was 5 to 7 years ago. You're in a different season of life, and you've got to reconsider, how do I elevate? How do I reconsider my life towards the cause of Christ? What more can I do, or what is changing from season to season? If you're like, man, nothing's changed in 7 years, then you definitely need to elevate. Are you getting this? So last week, we spent time talking about the cause of Christ as the Apostle Paul saw it. Remember, he said, to live is for Christ and to die is gain. What was he saying? As long as I'm living, it's going to be for the benefit of Christ. I'm going to continue to go on working for him. I'm going to continue to go on serving the church. I'm going to continue to go on advancing the cause. But if I die, it's gain because now I'm with Christ. Right? And so as I was thinking through this, I thought, you know what? Let's go in the Wayback Machine. I want to take you further back in time. We're going to shift from where we were with Paul, and we're going to go even further back in time to a place called the Valley of Elah. And we're landing our little spaceship here, our little time machine, on a battlefield. And the Philistines have shown up to fight, and God's people are afraid. They're not afraid necessarily of the battle, but the terms or rules of engagement that have just been laid out by the Philistines. And so we're talking David and Goliath today, okay? And so let's pick it up. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the Valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. What were they in? Battle formation. That's what array is, okay? The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them, okay? And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Let's pause for a minute because you're like, what is that? So there's some debate about how big a cubit was, okay? So it's normally between the elbow and the wrist or the elbow and the fingertip. How many know that can change? And also, the cubit was based on the man's arm. How many of that's different? Okay? So when they say he's 6 cubits in a span is half of that. And so really it falls us in line somewhere between, you know, anywhere from 8 plus to 9 to 11 feet tall. How many think that's a big guy? Okay, especially when you consider in that day and age, the common Jewish man in the Israeli army would have been maybe 5.5 feet tall. Upwards, closer to 6 maybe, when it says that King Saul stood a head and shoulders above the rest, that meant he was probably 6 feet or maybe 6'3". Are you getting this? And so if you look into the Guinness World Book of Records, there's a guy named Walderson. He's 8 feet 11 inches or some crazy thing. I mean, the guy, you look at a picture of him next to a 6 foot guy, it's crazy. So you're getting the reason as to why the Israeli army would be scared of these engagement rules, right? The rules of engagement because of what happens next. It goes on to say he has really, really heavy coats and helmets and, the javelin, and so much so that the shield is so heavy, he has a shield bearer carrying it for him. And then it says, then he stepped out and stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. Now you understand why the army is a little bit scared. It's not about whether they can create some sort of flanking position. Now it's one-on-one against this giant. All right? And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And the Philistines drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. So you're getting this idea. Every day, morning and night, this big giant comes out and he says the same thing. He defies the God of Israel. He defies the Israel's army. And he says the same thing. And you see this dismay and being afraid. You see kind of all of the... all of the men that had formed, now they're like trickling back and running and hiding like little cockroaches when the lights turn on. You know what I'm saying? Like, wah! They're scared. And so here's what happens. We're going to fast forward 40 days, and David the shepherd boy shows up. Are you ready? David, he has been asked by his father Jesse to bring snacks to his brothers on the front line. Dad knows the boys. And so for 15 years as a youth pastor, I preached this story that David was bringing Lunchables to the brothers. Okay, now I've got to kind of upgrade it to a charcuterie board. He's bringing the charcuterie board to the brothers on the front line. All right, and so either way, David shows up to the battlefield and he leaves these snacks with the guy that holds all the supplies, right? And of course, I think, man, if I'm the supply guy and I see this fight's about to go down, I'm eating the food. Like, you know what? We may all be dead. I'm going to have some ham and cheese. All right. And so anyway, that's just my thought. But let me, you know, I digress. Let me bring it back. And so David drops off the charcuterie board with the supply keeper and runs to meet his brothers who are already in battle formation. And so when he gets there, it says, then as he, David, talked with them, talking to his brothers and everybody, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words. What? Basically saying, remember, these are the terms. Who wants to fight me? It's me against them. Mano y mano, eh? And so all the men of Israel, they saw the man. They fled from him. Again, the cockroach idea, right? And were dreadfully afraid. So the man of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. Then David spoke to the men. And he says this, what shall be done for this man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? So there's our pretext, okay? We're hearing David is ashamed that he's seeing all of God's army run and hide while this giant defies not only the armies, but their God. Okay, so that's where the context is. But he's wanting to sweeten the pot. What happens if that guy goes down? What does that person get? Because right now, what he's seeing that giant has already signed a death wish because he's defied the God of Israel. So he's like, all right, let's sweeten the pot here. What else? What else will this guy get? And they start listing it off. Oh, the king's going to give him great riches. The king's going to give that person his daughter in marriage. The king's going to give the father's household tax exemption. And all of a sudden, David's like, all right, the guy's already signed a death wish. I want all that. I like that idea. Right? And then, now Eliab, David's older brother, when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, why did you come down here? You can just see this older brother talking down to the little brother, right? Why'd you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. All right, pause. Do you see this little like brotherly scenario? Do you see it for what it is? You've got this little brother showing up on the place, showing up on the battlefield, who's not even old enough to be in the army and serve, and yet he's here, and he's starting to seem somewhat brave and want to set the record straight about the giants. And this brother, who has been like the rest of them and run and hid, is now looking at the brother like, who do you think you are? All right, there's insecurities rising up in the older brother who's been hiding while the younger brother is now setting the record straight. All right? And David said, oh, I'm going to need a drum roll for this. Come on, give me a drum roll. Come on, give me a drum roll. I've been with the youth this week, so drum roll. Ready? This is what David says. Is there not a cause? Say it with me, church. Is there not a cause? He's getting fired up that his brother is too dim-witted in the moment to realize that the giant, it's not about me wanting to win all this fame or fortune. It's about the giant who's defying our God. Is there not a cause? He wasn't saying for the sake of the daughter in marriage. He wasn't saying for the sake of taxes. He was saying, do you see what's happening here? I may have just walked in with the charcuterie board, but I see what you guys are doing. You're shrinking back. You have forgotten what God can do. My question is, are you shrinking back because you have forgotten what God can do in your life and in your world? Is there not a cause? Then he turned toward another and said the same thing. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Think about the timing of the statement. It was in a dark time. It was in a time when hope was lost. It was when the hearts of men had failed that David spoke up. It was this moment where the rubber hit the road and David could see it for what it was, and he was having to call a spade a spade. You guys are all afraid. But this guy's already signed his death wish by speaking against the God of Israel. Is there not a cause? Number one, our cause should cause a speaking out. Look, during these times, we must ask the same thing. Church, now more than ever, is there not a cause? Because if there is, then there should be a speaking out. David said, is there not a cause? Why do we allow ourselves to be disheartened when the odds look stacked against us? If there is still a will, there is a way, right? You've heard the sentiment. And the strength of the sentiment is determined by the weight of the cause. The stronger the cause, the more determined one's will must be, right? This is why we see so many valiant warriors fight to the death for their belief. They had weighed the cost and chose to honor the cause beyond self-preservation. And David, he was fired up. He knew what honoring God and standing against all that would defy him looked like, and it wasn't shrinking back from the Philistines like he had seen the armies doing. Here's the thing. We can't get caught up in the details. We can't get caught up in the rules of engagement. We've got to see the big picture. When something comes to stand against you for the sake that would hold you back from the cause that God has, then that thing has already signed its death wish. Because if it's standing against your God by standing against you, then you need to remind yourself who your God is. And you need to just demand that that place has now become a battleground. That obstacle will fall. Is there not a cause? Our willpower will only go so far. However, when we align with God's will, true power is released. His blessing and favor will always multiply the effects. So, all right, so we just saw him have to basically have this little argument, scuffle with his brother, reminding him that there's a cause. This speaking of bravery or this speaking of hope has caught the army's ear, and now David is brought before the king, so he goes into the king's tent, right? So it brings us to number two. Our cause should cause a standing up. Not just a speaking out, but a standing up. Our cause should fan passion into flame, and it should turn into action. Are you getting this? And so the cause of Christ should ignite something in you to go and change the world. This concept is actually what named our youth ministry 19 years ago. It's about understanding that if we would ignite the passion for what's real, that we could see the world change if people would stand up. And so it says, then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail. He's saying it because it had failed. Saying, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight the Philistine. So it went from, is there not a cause, to I'm going to do something about it. There's a disconnect sometimes. Oftentimes we say, is there not a cause? God, do something about it. And God goes, that's why you're there. I will enable you to do what you can't do, but I'm not going to do what you can do. So you start and I'll finish. You get that? Whew. Man, some people would see a lot more breakthrough if they started doing what they could do and then saw God show up halfway. Instead, they're waiting for God to show up and God's going, no, no, no. I know I'm with you, but I'm already at the victory. You've got to get there and I'll finish. It was more than speaking up. David was willing to stand up, to stand out, to even be ridiculed. You heard his brother. And there were many brothers that had the same sentiment. Right? And so he was willing to be ridiculed for his faith that God could and would use him to advance God's kingdom by being successful. Do you know God wants you to be successful? If now I'm saying that, insinuating you're going after the will of God, not your own will. Right? If you are about your Father's business, God wants you to be successful. If you are following the call of God on your life, if you're being obedient to what God is calling you to, He not only wants you to be successful, He's going to enable you to be successful. Not for a minute has He forsaken you, yes? So this leads me to number three. Our cause should cause a shutting down. What does that mean? Don't allow anyone's doubt to steal your cause. Shut it down. Shut it down. So again, just this story. We've seen him argue with his brothers, say, is there not a cause? Now he's gone into the tent and told the king, hey, I'm your guy. Don't let this make any man's heart fail. I'm going to go out and take care of this. And look what the king says. Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Very poetic. Look, I don't care what anyone says. If God's put it on my heart and I can't get that feeling to go away, and I know the Holy Spirit is telling me to do something, and you know what? I've even sought some multitude of counsel, by the way. He's standing in front of the king, and he is the answer the king needs, but the king doesn't see it because the king sees things physically, not spiritually. You have to shut down the doubts. You have to shut down the self-doubt. You've got to shut down the haters that are drinking Haterade's doubts. You got to shut it down. Don't allow anyone's doubt to steal your cause, a silencing of the doubt. When you know there is a cause, you aren't swayed by the doubters. Don't allow the doubters to question your call, right? Let's go to number four. Number four, our cause should cause a stirring up. We need to stir up our faith. We need to stir up our faith, reminding ourselves of what God has already done. It should fuel a warrior spirit in you to not let those obstacles and those giants, you know, run rampant and run free, but to actually face them and overcome them. So when I think about it fueling action to fight, it should stir within us the desire that not only does something have to be done, but that we are going to be active in seeing it fulfilled. Samuel 17:36 says this, your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. See, Saul had not seen the things that David had seen. Saul did not know what his training grounds had looked like for this very moment. See, if he hadn't been successful in the training grounds, he would have been killed by a lion or a bear. Instead, he barehandled him, you know. Oh, it's so bad. I love it. The more corny it gets, the better it is. So he understood that he had already conquered a lion and conquered a bear to protect the sheep. And now he sees God's army very sheepish, and he's willing to go out and protect them. He's willing to stand in the gap again. This is powerful. Don't discredit or disregard or disdain your training grounds. Because if you can't get it right there, you won't get it right when it matters. And the way you need to see it is every training ground matters. The cause of the kingdom, the cause of Christ, the cause of bringing glory to God should stir more than passion and inspiration, but a willingness to stand and do something about it. The cause should make us stand up against adversity, not sit down. Number five, our cause should cause an invitation. An invoking of God to use us as he has before. We're inviting God to steal the show. God, I know I just talked a big game, but it's only because I know that this giant, this Philistine, has defied you. So really, I've only been saying what you're already thinking. That's another thing. Am I only saying what God's thinking? Or am I adding some of my own words into the script? I'm only saying what you're saying, God. So let me re-invite you into the space to do what only you can do, to do what you've done before, the same way I did it with the lion, which was you, and the same way that I did it with the bear, which was you. I'm inviting you again to prove you right. Did you hear me? Not to prove me right, to prove you right. God, you've done it before and you can do it again. I trust you. I invite you into this situation. You're the one that can change these circumstances. So come on in. Number six, our cause should cause a showing up. Not just a speaking out, not just a standing up, but an actual showing up. Because guess what? Talk is cheap. You could stand before kings and run your mouth. But are you going to show up when the time comes? And it's necessary. There are these amazing moments in history where God needed a man to stand up, to show up. You can go through the history's time, and you think of Winston Churchill and what he meant in World War II. You fast forward and you think of Martin Luther King Jr. and what he meant for the Civil War. There are times where God has amazing men stand up for what's right. Amazing women stand up for what's right. You go back to, Rosa Parks. You go back to Ruth. You go back to Esther in the Bible. You go back through all the times. God is just looking for someone to stand up. Just show up. Just do what you can so he can step in where you can't. David said to the Philistine, now he's finished talking with Saul. Saul's tried to put him in his own armor and carrying his own sword, and he realizes, I can't do this. The way God uses me, it's not like this, so I'm not going to try and do it the way that you do it. I'm going to let God use me the way he uses me. So he goes out there, and he picks up some stones in the battlefield, and he goes out to approach the giants. And then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied this day, and the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. There is a cause. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. What's he saying? I didn't even come out here with a sword and spear. I got a sling and a God. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. For this cause, our obstacles will become battlegrounds. We will show up to advance the cause. And the last point, number seven, our cause will make giants fall and evil flee. Our cause will make giants fall and evil flee. Because our cause is the cause of Christ. Our cause has the backing of heaven. We will see evil flee, and we will see giants fall. And so, I love this part. Look, unlike our earthly causes, the cause, our cause, has heaven's backing. Look, it says, so it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. See, when you show that you won't back down, when you say, this is the line, devil, you're not taking another inch. I am going to overcome this thing, this habit, this issue, this struggle. It ends here. I'm going to see this obstacle as a battleground, and I'm going to make this giant fall, and the rest are going to flee because they understand that God is with me, he's for me, and that there's a cause that I'm willing to stand up for. Are you getting this, church? Don't shrink back. Is there not a cause? Of course there's a cause. The greatest cause. Not just this side of the Mississippi, the side of heaven. Is there not a cause, church? Is there not a cause, church? Then let's act like it. Let's think like it. Let's speak like it. Let's love like it. Let's serve like it. Let's give like it. And let's live like it. Like our cause is to glorify the God of heaven. That we live for the cause of Christ, that we would bear fruit. That we wouldn't just be words that return void, but that we would be action that takes roots and brings fruit. Do you receive the word today?
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.